As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Well, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a show-me showdown. We got breakfast on the table, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it. Welcome to our Friday, October the 16th, 2009, live two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. I've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you today. We're going to talk about a lot of issues. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can pick up the phone, call throughout the broadcast for those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area. You may call in at 512-904-8014 to join us live on air or take Oracle with you on your mobile phone. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. And, of course, your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost, that's Become Vocal Local Host, at centurytel.net. Again, that's just simply bvlhost at centurytel.net. And for those without internet access, listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts Post Office, Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's P.O. Box 96, Exeter, Mo. Little post office over here. Exeter, Missouri, 65647. A big shout-out again this morning to Liberty Radio, Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York, and 94.3 Elgin, Texas. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting Become Vocal Local to your local listening audiences. Again, our call-in number remains throughout the broadcast, 866-841-1065, and your calls are certainly welcome. Gold this morning trades active in the $1,040 level. The USDX inches up in the wake of a 10,000 Dow. The property, debt, credit, public finance, learning more about the economics and global finance will be the main focus of today's broadcast. Of course, we'll take your calls and much, much more. Let's go to that market report for Friday, October the 16th, 2009. Active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. But 1 hour ago, gold was off $4.40 an ounce, trading above $1,046.20 an ounce. Silver off 8 cents, trading at $17.26, moving down quite a bit from where it was yesterday, trading in the $17.70 area. Platinum off 12 bucks in early trading at $1,337 an ounce, and palladium up a dollar at $325 an ounce. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market so far this morning, $1,042.20 for a low, $1,066.70 for a high. You can see quite a $24 spread there, a big spread here in the lows and the highs. A lot of activity going on in that marketplace this morning. But at $1,046.20, your gold is still up $242.10 from this day 1 year ago, for a 30.10% return on your investment. The boys in London this morning set the gold price at $1,047.75. You can see we're $1.50 below that. The gold at 9 o'clock, as according to Bloomberg, was at $1,045.80. So you can see it's very close between the trades. If you look at the charts, you'll see this morning it's up and down and up and down and all over the place. And that's good. That's healthy. That's a good market. Anyway, yesterday the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 47, again trading above 10,000 at 10,063. The Nasdaq in the equity pit over there was up 1 at 2173. And the S&P was up 5, closing at 1,097. We'll pick it all up right there on the other side of this first break. Stay with us.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
You're thirsty. You put the glass under the faucet, turn it on, nothing. No water in your tap, no water in the stores, no water for your children.
Millions of Americans go without water during hurricanes, droughts, and chemical spills. They're forced to wait for government deliveries of bottled water.
But now, you can produce pure drinking water from any source. Ocean water, contaminated well water.
The dirtiest, nastiest, smelliest water.
The secret is U.S. patent-pending C-panels. Technology transfer from the University of Alabama. They use sunlight to distill clean water, one pure H2O molecule at a time. Impervious to bacteria and mold and 100% solar powered.
Simple and affordable, they start at less than $100 and make up to a gallon per day of delicious water per panel.
The more sun you have, the more water you get. 205-246-6492.
Or visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com.
cpanel.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
And welcome back to our Friday, October the 16th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. And my name is William Roberts, talking about some news, some facts, and certainly we might even advance some solutions today. You always understand my solution doesn't change in all of this if we don't get rid of the established two-party political system and do it in a New York minute. We're in deep trouble. But anyway, let's proceed along. Finish up this market report for Friday, October the 16th, 2009. We found gold again trading off $4.40 at early morning trading at $1,046.20. Silver off 8 cents at $17.26. Dropping down a little bit further, we find crude oil losing 19 cents in early trading, trading at $77.39 a barrel. Now, months ago, I read an article that the all the prognosticators and the forecasters and the guys with the Ouija boards and the crystal balls were looking for about an $80 gold come fall. Well, we're in, or excuse me, $80 crude come fall, and you can see that we're not far off of that. But at $77.39, it's really no help to us when you consider back when Drake was doing his explorations, as we discussed yesterday, you could pick up a barrel of crude for a dime. Well, money has changed in value. Certainly this USDX, the dollar index, again, just refreshing your memory, this Intercontinental Exchange, Inc., this is a product, this USDX that we compare it against. It's hard to say whether this is actually a dollar or whether it's just another representation of it, representing the dollar inside of this marketplace, this USDX. It's a product. It's something they own in ICE. ICE is their website. I think it's called theice.com. You might look it up, Intercontinental Exchange. But this ICE, this indicator, this weighted basket of currencies, if you will, created by them, for them, and for exchange, foreign exchange, we find the USDX indicator, if you will, up another 42 basis points at 75.85, which, of course, is impacting the markets all over the place. Let's look at the Forex, the foreign exchange rates for this morning. The Canadian dollar trading down 73 basis points, yet still at 96 cents U.S. That's down a penny, by the way. It was 97 cents earlier in the week. Started the week off at 97 cents. The Mexican peso loses 51 basis points, yet still trades just barely at 8 cents U.S. The euro losing 55 basis points against the U.S. dollar index at $1.49 trading. If you're going to go out into the foreign exchange world today and pick up currencies, you want to buy euros at $1.49. The British pound moves up another 34 basis points, even more solidly fixing itself at $1.63 U.S., and the Swiss franc is up, or excuse me, off 65 basis points, yet still trades for 98 cents U.S. You can see that the Canadian dollar and the Swiss franc are virtually at par with whatever it is that is represented by the U.S. dollar. The purchasing power is just about of this for that exchange. Very, very close. And you know that Switzerland is one of the reasons why we've got it in here, is the home, if you will, of the Bank of International Settlements, the central bank for the central bankers. So that's why we see it in here. But it shouldn't surprise us as we go into this leveled playing field, this new basket of currencies. The U.S. dollar's got to come down. The other currencies have to come up in order for this thing to work. And whether it works or not, only time will tell. In the bond market this morning, the yield in the 2-year is still below 1%. It's 0.97%. The 10-year yield is 3.45%, and the 30-year yield is 4.28%. I wouldn't suggest getting involved in 30-year bonds in this marketplace, but anyway, that's not my call to make. The mortgage, the 15-year mortgage, drops down a little bit from where it was a month ago on this time, from 4.67, now at 4.60. So we're going to see this continuing downslide in these mortgages as they try and entice more and more people into going into debt. The 30-year mortgage, down from a month ago, from 5.27% 30 days ago to 5.05% today. So those are the numbers, the indices, the indicators. There are other indicators out there as well. This is an article off of Bloomberg. Pulled it down. Not as much a financial news as it really is more of a better understanding of where we're going in this next decade, if you will. Panasonic solar power status symbols turn Japan's rich green. This article by Mariko Yashu and Maki Shiraki or Shiraki. October 15th, new news off Bloomberg. Forget that 58-inch flat panel TV. The new domestic status symbol for Japan's rich is a cooker. A cooker. Well, let's find out about that. Housewife Yasuo Takizawa. Yasuo Takizawa. Got it right that time, whose husband runs a public relations firm, spent as much as 4 million yen, or $44,900, on systems that combine solar power with energy-efficient water and room heaters and induction cookers, the heat pots, with a magnetic field, boosting her green credentials and swelling earnings for manufacturer Panasonic Corporation. I'm not sure what Yasuo's husband had to say about that, but I can imagine if he came home and saw the 4 million yen bill laying on the table, he probably was a little bit beside himself. I don't know whether he'd grab the letter opener and commit harikari or not, but you know, the Japanese have been known to do things like that. Here's his quote, or her quote: I'm not normally big on the environment, but I feel good that I'm using eco-friendly products, said Takizawa, 63, who installed the system. I'm sure she did. I'm really sure. He got the screwdriver, you know, the Panasonic screw gun and all that out. And she, who installed the system after seeing it at her sister's house. Now my friends who visit my place say they also want them. You see how it goes around, folks? Gentlemen, guard your wallets. She's buying the same units for a house being built for her son. Obviously, they're doing quite well over there in Japan. Turning its white goods business green may help Panasonic double sales from home products in a decade. In a decade, within the next 10 years. H.R. 2454, the Clean Energy and Security Act of 2009, wending its way through the Senate. Let's continue. Japan's biggest maker of home appliances, the Osaka-based company Panasonic, is blitzing magazines and websites with recruitment ads to staff its 18,000 branded neighborhood stores, a key to providing technical support the solar systems require. Not quite like bringing home a Sunbeam waffle iron and just plugging it in. No, these things all require technical support. And if it goes the way it usually goes, you'll have to talk to somebody in Indonesia or India. And then they'll follow their little script for you and go through a line-by-line logic process to try and answer your questions. Panasonic's home units earned 49 billion yen last year, outdoing divisions making televisions and stereos and electrical components at homes. Revenue at the unit was 1.2 trillion yen, 15% of the company's overall sales. I'd say the green movement is moving well in Japan. Be right back. Stay with us.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule and Heirloom Seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com.
SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show. the Intel Strike Report.
And I just want to thank you for everything that you guys are doing to help people understand what's going on in this world.
You know what? You guys, thank you for what you do, and keep doing it.
And we're back once again, going into this article a little deeper here, finish this thing out as quickly as I can. I'm just trying to lay down a little bit of an understanding of what's going on in this green movement. Certainly what's happening in Japan, we have to understand, we start talking about this kind of material trumping stereos and televisions and all of that sort of stuff. You can see that this is a another assault, if you will. This is another public relations program, and let's find out a little bit more about that again. Once again, the Osaka-based company that would be Panasonic, Japan's biggest maker of home appliances, again, is blitzing magazines and websites with recruitment ads to staff its 18,000 branded neighborhood stores. So it would be like a having a Ward's outlet or something near you, a Sears store, you know how that goes. Panasonic's home products unit earned 49 billion yen last year, outdoing divisions making televisions, stereos, electrical components, and homes. I didn't know that Panasonic, you could buy a Panasonic home, but I guess in Japan you can. Revenue of the unit was 1.2 trillion yen, which was 15% of the company's overall sales. The company's also seeking to buy Sanyo Electric Company, a Japanese maker of solar panels and rechargeable batteries, for $9 billion U.S. Green seminars. Panasonic and its store managers marketed energy-efficient products to 800,000 customers in 2,800 seminars in 5 months to up to August the 31st, according to Mitsuo Osawa, a director at Panasonic's Electrical Works Unit. Sales of such appliances for household in Japan will rise to 2.75 trillion yen in the 2 years to March 2011, from 2.13 trillion yen in the previous 2 years, according to data provided by Osawa and Japan's Agency for Natural Resources and Energy. Remember, part of this H.R. 2454 legislation included having discounts available for these Green Star energy products. And also recall the telephone call that I shared with you, the marketing call from a Sears representative trying to get me to upgrade all of my appliances in my home to Energy Star products marketed by Sears. So what goes around in Japan comes around in America as well. We're going to get into this and find out a little bit more about it. Dropping down further, energy-saving products can not only stimulate consumer demand, talked about that yesterday, going to repeat it today, but also boost the overall appliance market as they are generally sold at a higher price, said Kazunori Takumi, president of Panasonic's home appliance company. The backbone of Panasonic's plan is its chain of own brand shopping street stores, set up more than half a century ago to sell the company's televisions, washing machines, and air conditioners. The stores have been in decline since peaking at about 27,000 in 1980, as warehouse chains like Yamada Denki Company captured customers with discounts. The local shops now account for about 30% of Panasonic's sales in Japan. It's going to get a little more interesting now. A fortune. The shops are a fortune to us, Takumi said. They can offer the maintenance services that will be crucial to expand this business. So apparently these high-tech things need a lot of maintenance, too. Never had to have to call in a maintenance technician to work on my Panasonic, Sunbeam waffle maker. But I guess you'll have to do that in the future. Panasonic, whose shares have risen 14% in Tokyo trading this year, has the largest network of consumer electronics shops in Japan, There are about 1,000 Sony, that would be Standard Oil of New York, Sony-branded shops, and 2,700 for Sanyo Electric Company, the company said. Panasonic is eyeing expansion of the appliance business as its next growth driver, as the audio-visual equipment markets start to saturate, said Daiwa's Miura. The company doubled TV sales in the past 10 years with the switch to more expensive flat panel screens. Emphasize more expensive, still just a television, you know. He said that the situation can be recreated with eco-friendly home appliances. Eco-friendly green movement, you know. Buy green. Panasonic's EcoCute. EcoCute. E-C-O, capital C-U-T-E. EcoCute. A water heater. Isn't that cute? A water heater. That extracts heat from the air. Costing around 800,000 yen. Four times more than a conventional gas boiler. Four times more. Panasonic's induction cooking range costs about 400,000 yen. How much for that stove? Oh, so only 400,000 yen. Ah, bargain. Bargain at that price. Take two. Most of Japan's 50 million households use gas for cooking and warming water. The number using only electricity will likely increase by 1.5 million to 5 million in the 2 years to March of 2011. Osawa said, those with solar systems will probably increase by at least 200,000 to 660,000 in the same time. In other words, there's already 460,000 people with solar systems in Japan, each spending about 2.5 million yen for the equipment. That's just a whole lot of yen. Sanyo's strategy? Panasonic will likely start a major campaign for its Panasonic for the entire house strategy after completing the acquisition of Sanyo Electric, Miura said. The acquisition will help combine appliances with solar cells, fuel cells, and rechargeable batteries, quote, to offer a unique service that no other rival can replicate, close quote, said President Fumio Atsubo, said at the annual shareholder meetings on June the 25th. Electronics retailers like Yamada Denki, Japan's biggest by revenue, are fighting back. In December, the company increased its stake to 100% from 51% in Cosmos Berries, a franchise of 1,014 local electric goods outlets. In August, the retailer teamed up with Hiroshima based contractor West Holdings Corp. to offer solar power installation. Getting the picture here? We are aiming to expand our coverage to areas and consumers that large outlets cannot reach, said Hisashi Yamada, a spokesman for the Gunma-based retailer. Solar sales. Sales of solar cells, fuel cells, energy-saving lighting, and energy-efficient heating systems in Japan will probably more than double to 1.4 trillion, that's with a T, trillion yen in 9 years to 2017. Fuji Kazai Company, a private researcher in Tokyo, said in a June 9th statement, Japan is encouraging consumers to invest in solar power by forcing utilities to buy surplus domestic electricity at above market rates. Government incentives for renewable energy may boost solar sales in Japan 20-fold by 2020, Goldman Sachs Group Inc. analyst Hiroyuki Sakaita and Ikuyu Matsushashi said in August. Watching her solar control panel, Takizawa said income from her surplus pays more than 70% of her monthly power bill and will double next month with the new tariffs. She says, it's fun to check how much electricity we're producing. Well, that's a new hobby in Japan. Come into the United States of America soon, no doubt about it. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
History will always remember those with the strongest voice. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Long live the revolution.
Look, it's time someone gave you the facts about your computer. If you're a Windows user, you know all too well what the problems are. Viruses, crashes, sluggish behavior. Finally, you have to fix it or take it to the shop. We see it every day. Now, Microsoft is preparing for the release of their new Windows 7. They want you to pay hundreds of dollars to upgrade. Well, you don't have to pay for the privilege of using your computer anymore. We've been installing Linux at home and for businesses in Austin for 4 years. Our customers love it. Why Linux? It never costs you a dime. All the software you need is free, and you never have to worry about Windows viruses again. Linux is all but immune, and many of your Windows programs will run on Linux as well. Have an older computer? Linux runs great on it, when Windows won't. So instead of paying for a system that's going to cause you problems, stop fighting your computer and start using it. Check out the facts at www.fixedbylinux.com. That's L-I-N-U-X, fixedbylinux.com. Or call us at 512-739-9707. There's a better way. Linux.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
You're thirsty. You put the glass under the faucet, turn it on, nothing. No water in your tap, no water in the stores, no water for your children.
Millions of Americans go without water during hurricanes, droughts, and chemical spills. They're forced to wait for government deliveries of bottled water.
But now, you can produce pure drinking water from any source. Ocean water, contaminated well water.
The dirtiest, nastiest, smelliest water.
The secret is U.S. patent pending sea panels. Technology transfer from the University of Alabama. They use sunlight to distill clean water, one pure H2O molecule at a time. Impervious to bacteria, mold, and 100% solar powered.
Simple and affordable, they start at less than $100 and make up to a gallon per day of delicious water per panel.
The more sun you have, the more water you get. 205-246-6492.
Or visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com.
cpanel.com.
Returning once again, going back into some more of this continuation, I guess, really, is where we're going to go with all this. So what I try to do with that particular article is to demonstrate a couple of things. One of them is how demand drives the marketplace, and also how this new green revolution is going to come in and come to play as everybody retrofits their house and rebuilds their homes and so on and so forth with all of this new technologically advanced stuff. But this brings to my mind this discussion that we've had many times on this broadcast, returning for a moment to the International Symposium on Man's Role in Changing the Face of the Earth, put out in Princeton, New Jersey in 1955. You know, they say sometimes that technology is running 40, 50 years ahead of what we see on the product shelves today. If there's any truth to that, that's to be determined, but certainly the planners are running 40, 50 years ahead all the time. You know, we have no plans for the weekend, but they've already planned out the entire century. That's just the difference between their mentality and ours, I guess. But anyway, back to this article. It was a treatise written for this particular symposium in Princeton in 1955. Samuel Ordway writes in his Possible Limits of Raw Material Consumption. He starts his treatise off here with this quote. It goes this way: whether there may be any unbreakable upper limits to the continuing growth of our economy, we do not pretend to know. but it must be part of our task to examine such apparent limits as present themselves, which was quoted from the President's Material Policy Commission, Resources for Freedom, published in 1952, the year I was born. Is there an unbreakable upper limit to the continuing growth of our economy? This is what we talk about when we think about economy and economics and so on and so forth. Here's a little bit more. This information leads to the presentation of a theory of the limit of growth. The possibility of avoiding in the United States the arrival at such limit by imports and technological discovery is minimized. The remainder of the paper is addressed to possible ways by which our prosperity may be sustained. Written in 1955, the Sustainable Development Movement, Agenda 21, is what we live today and is the goal or the agenda for the 21st century. So this was set up not less than almost 60 years ago. Continuing, it is suggested that for the next few decades at least, there will be increased prosperity and plenty. That would run you from 1950 to 1975, 1980. In the same period, there will continue to be decreases in the hours men have to work, accompanied by an abundance of leisure for many. These factors of plenty and leisure can lead to individual and group activity, which can develop new national awareness and discipline and a needed ethic for an age of conservation. I don't know about you, but when I read those words several years ago, when I read this book the first time through, all kinds of bells started ringing in my mind. Just the other day, on Mike Chambers' live broadcast, Mike was talking about this idea that we would have all of these people getting involved with groups so that they could help out in their community and activate themselves locally. This coming out of the usurper's administration. This is addressing this idea that there would be an abundance of leisure. And you can't just have idle hands, you know. That makes for trouble to the government. Going back and hearkening back to the writings of Auguste Comte, you know, it was Auguste Comte that coined the term altruism. What is altruism? What is that all about? Maybe you look it up in your dictionary. But what you'll basically see is what Comte thought, that in our positive stage of development, the final and long-lasting end game for humanity, we would no longer be swept away with our own limited self-interest, but no, instead, we would live our lives for others, doing it all for the children. Altruism, setting aside your own interest and serving the community, planting trees or something. Going out and helping with the Meals on Wheels program. Donating time down at the local church. Cleaning up the parks. Picking up garbage. Ratting on your neighbors. Tattletale squads, babushkas, you know, that sort of thing. Lots of idle time. Abundance of leisure. Leisure and plenty. Plenty? You want to talk about plenty. How about 4 million yen for a new range and a dishwasher and a carburetor and a kitchen, you know, equipment and a hot water heater. $44,900 is what she spent on appliances. I've owned houses that I purchased for less than that. Anyway, so it gives us an idea of some of where we have been coming all of this time as we proceeded through these decades. From the time of that writing. Now this one, I brought it out yesterday, Principles of Economics, this book, textbook, published in 1953, see, contemporary. I'm trying to keep all of the information here on this subject contemporary time period, all within a 10-year decade, the 50s to the 60s. But anyway, here, in this particular textbook, starts off with a little bit of background material on what is physiocracy. Got an email the other day asking me to list out the broadcast where we talk about specific isms. Well, difficult to do because on this broadcast, the home of philosophical radicalism, we talk about these isms every day. So I guess the best way to figure out all the different isms we've discussed here would be to go back and listen to all of the broadcasts I've done for the last 17 months, and you'd have a pretty good handle on it. But foregoing that, let's understand this. Physiocracy, or natural philosophy, brings us into this idea of natural rights, natural law, natural rights. During the latter half of the 18th century occurred some major developments in economic life which have been called the English Industrial Revolution, out of which we get things like utilitarianism, John Stuart Mill, Jeremy Bentham, James Mill, his father, Francis Hutcheson, goes back to Locke. There's a lot happening in all of that, but certainly we need to look very carefully at the writings and the ideas of Jeremy Bentham. They were the philosophical radicals of their time. And it was out of the mind of Jeremy Bentham that the idea of a panopticon was created. In other words, a penal system where the jailers sit in the middle of it and they can see into all of the cells at one time from a tower in the middle of the penal colony, if you will, inside of the prison. But the occupants of the cells couldn't see the guards watching, and so they could never be sure whether the guards were watching or not. So everyone just had to be on their good behavior all the time. It's kind of the way it is today in America and in England and other places with all of the cameras everywhere, including in your home. All these smart technologies. Oh, I saw the other day in one of our rural co-op tabloids that they send every month, a little device that you can order from them, request from them. You can just plug it into any outlet in your house, and it will instantly let you know how you're doing on electrical consumption throughout the entire house and tell you what you were doing last month, you know, and 6 months ago and 8 months ago, so that you could compare. So that, like our housewife in Tokyo, Takisawa, you could have fun looking at how much energy you're saving. Pretty miserable life. I'd suggest getting a book, you know, get a life, I guess is the way they say it. But some people would probably sit around and look at their little meters. But if that little meter plugged into any outlet in your house can tell you how you're doing on your energy consumption and whether you're saving anything compared to last month or a year ago, it might be able to tell others too, don't you think? Might be a little wireless connector to that turtle meter outside that's at your electrical your electrical meter that's hooked into a grid that talks to the electrical company so that they don't have to send out a meter reader anymore. You get the idea? All right, let's go into this a little further. The idea of panopticon comes out of this English industrial revolution, but so does the idea of laissez-faire. The results of the commercial revolution, the colonization of the New World, and the vast expansion in trade were chiefly to make manufacturing more important in relation to agriculture than it had been before. And everything that we study in economics has to do with this idea of making manufacture more important than agriculture. Find out a little more about that. England had been very active in colonization, you know, all over the planet. England also possessed within her own borders many raw materials like coal, iron, forests, and wood. And we'll pick that up, coal, iron, forests, and woods on the other side, and just see how far down the slippery slope we've come. Be right back. Stay with us.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Does ordinary talk radio give you the laws?
Blah, blah, blah.
This ain't your daddy's talk radio. OracleBroadcasting.com.
And we've returned, and so as you know, we've gone through in the course of the many months here on Oracle Broadcasting and elsewhere, all the way back, you know, through about 6,500 years of recorded history, trying to lay down some of the framework from where we came to where we might be today and where we might expect to go in the future. Certainly through these various and sundry revolutions, you know, when you start into the commercial revolution and then into the mercantile time period and from the mercantile time period into the industrial revolution and from the industrial revolution then forward into, you know, modern age, if you will, and then the high-tech bubble and all of this nonsense. But looking back again to establish a place in time where our country was originally founded, the time period, back in the Industrial Revolution, somewhere between 1750 and 1800 starting, the major developments that occurred at this time were profound. The first industry which was mechanized and in which the factory system emerged was the cotton textile industry. Couldn't buy a pair of cotton socks in America made in America from American cotton today if you had $1,000, but I guess this is advancing progress. It was followed by mechanization of the woolen industry and still later on the iron industry. Of course, China's now the number one steel manufacturer on the planet. The factory system has been mentioned. Factory arose as the result of mechanism that was occurring. And again, the factory system consisted of a group of laborers working under one roof using machinery powered by steam to the end that complete production process was carried on in this particular location. And then this system was for a while replaced by the domestic system of manufacture, by which most manufactured articles were made in the homes of artisans as they had been in the Middle Ages. Are we going back there again? Are we back to our house again? Tippy-tapping on the computer, working out of our homes. That might be where we're being driven. The power of kings and princes in Europe had enabled them, through mercantilist policies, to gain the chief benefits from manufacture and trade. Who profited? Why, of course, the kings and princes in Europe. Who's profiting today? Well, the kings and princes in Europe. The merchants and manufacturers in France realized that they were not the gainers and that a policy of hands-off on the part of the national government would be of greater benefit to them. The rise of the natural philosophy, quote-unquote, in continental Europe, which stated that what is natural is right, also contributed to this change in attitude. The rise of physiocracy resulted. The physiocrats, who were the merchants and manufacturers and, quote-unquote, landed aristocracy. Who was the physiocrats? The merchants, the manufacturers, and those landed aristocrats, and some politicians and scholars, too, of course, are included in that list. They adopted the phrase laissez-faire, laissez-passer. Everybody hears about laissez-faire, but nobody knows the end of that story, laissez-passer. Passer, P-A-S-S-E-R. Which translated means merely, and this is just one of various translations that I've seen, not my favorite, but it says, meanly, it means this, let us alone and let us go on as we will. Laissez-faire, laissez-passer, let it be and let me pass. It was a plea for the government to step out of the economic picture and to cease its interference. Boy, could we use a dose of that today. Although laissez-faire was born in France, it was best delineated by Adam Smith. And we'll get back into the writings of Adam Smith, but he wrote An Inquiry into the Nature and Causes of the Wealth of Nations in 1776. Adam Smith, it is to be noted, lived during the Industrial Revolution. He observed the great changes the world was facing. The physiocratic movement in France was familiar to him, as was the waning mercantilistic philosophy. His book founded a system of economics we call laissez-faire. The influence of Adam Smith as the formulator of this new economic system has had a tremendous impact upon the modern world. His philosophy was the philosophy adopted by Americans. It was essentially the core of the free enterprise system of economic organization. Do you have a copy of Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations in your home? Have you read it? You understand where free enterprise systems came from. If not, I highly recommend that you take a look at it. It's well worth it. It used to be required reading at all of the Ivy Leagues. Let's jump forward a little bit. Again, I'm referring to a textbook. This would be Economics 101, right out of college in 1953. Freedom of enterprise, its operation. From what has been said, it's evident that in the United States, an individual is free to engage in the type of economic activity that appeals to him. That right may be defined as, quote, freedom of enterprise. The law permits an individual to choose an occupation in any part of the country and to engage in it for profit. And, of course, if you've been listening to our discussions with Vicki Davis on Tuesdays and Thursdays, you can see that this choice is now being made at an earlier and earlier age, and it's not a choice that the individual is making, but it is one that is being made for them in their very most formative years of life. Dropping down a little bit further, give us an idea about property, the freedom to own property, its operation. Another right, again, being taught at the college level, first year college, freshman college perhaps, studying economics. This would be the first class that they would get. And this, 35 pages into their first textbook, probably would have covered this one in the first week of school. Freedom to own property. Another right that the individual possesses in a private enterprise system is the right to own property. Sounds rather definitive, doesn't it? The fields, factories, and mines are owned by individuals or groups of individuals. These agencies of production, listen carefully. We talked about this obfuscatory linguistics yesterday, how the words just shape and shift as you go through these various textbooks. These agencies of production are operated by those who do not own them, for those who do. Interesting, is it not? These agencies of production are operated by those who do not own them for those who do. Who owned the lands and all of this other stuff? before it was the kings and princes of Europe, right? Might be the same today. The privilege to use property includes the privilege to abuse it, as long as the abuse does not interfere with the rights of others. Laying out this philosophy, if you will, for the students of economics in the 1950s. Why do we even bother looking at the 1950s? Well, so many of the people that have shaped our economic system began their education in the pages of this book. We see it unfolding all around us. We have a hard time understanding the language game that is being used. We have a hard time understanding the economic system that is being deployed. And so we go back and we study the books that they learned from, and then add to that readings from other areas. Now, here's a rather interesting, under the freedom to own property in black and white. Actually, the author is right. A person does not own the property itself, but rather a right to use it that is superior to the rights of other individuals, period. A very telling sentence in a beginning text on economics. I don't imagine that your mother and father sat down and had that little conversation with you. Perhaps when you were sitting down to sign on to the first mortgage on your property or talking to your real estate agent, I don't imagine they gave you a little one-on-one time in the back room and let you know that in the United States of America, and most likely around the world, that a person does not own the property itself, but rather a right to use it that is superior to the rights of other individuals. Now, if you're taking out a mortgage and putting a down payment on a $1.5 million home in a subdivision of $1.5 million home houses, are you really willing to pay $1.5 million for a right to use that building that is superior to others? Did you think you were buying the house and that it would be yours? Actually, a person does not own the property itself, but rather a right to use it that is superior to the rights of other individuals. Let's go back to Andrew J. Galambos briefly. I've talked a lot from, shared a lot out of his books. He was a logician. Well, we'll have to pick that up on the other side as we go into hour number two. We'll pick up Andrew J. Galambos and his understanding of property and freedom after this break. Stay with us.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule and Heirloom Seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com.
SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Look, it's time someone gave you the facts about your computer. If you're a Windows user, you know all too well what the problems are. Viruses, crashes, sluggish behavior. Finally, you have to fix it or take it to the shop. We see it every day. Now, Microsoft is preparing for the release of their new Windows 7. They want you to pay hundreds of dollars to upgrade. Well, you don't have to pay for the privilege of using your computer anymore. We've been installing Linux at home and for businesses in Austin for 4 years. Our customers love it. Why Linux? It never costs you a dime. All the software you need is free, and you never have to worry about Windows viruses again. Linux is all but immune, and many of your Windows programs will run on Linux as well. Have an older computer? Linux runs great on it, when Windows won't. So instead of paying for a system that's going to cause you problems, stop fighting your computer and start using it. Check out the facts at www.fixedbylinux.com. That's L-I-N-U-X, fixedbylinux.com. Or call us at 512-739-9707. There's a better way. Linux.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And we've returned once again on this as we begin our second hour right here on Friday, October the 16th, 2009, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local. We definitely come to you Monday through Friday on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com, in the first hour of today's broadcast. If you're just joining us, your network's just picking us up, well, you've missed a pretty good intro. You might want to go back to the oraclebroadcasting.com website, the official website of this network, and go on to the show archives page for the broadcast Become Vocal Local. Click on that and then listen to today's full two-hour broadcast, and then spend your weekend going back and checking out some of the earlier archives. Each of these broadcasts is intended to serve as a link, a stepping stone, one upon the next, as we kind of build this pyramid of understanding and come into the light, and we start to understand just what is that all-seeing eye. Yeah, anyway, all of that stuff aside, Andrew J. Galambos is a very interesting person. The Universal Scientific Publications Company, Inc., San Diego, 1999, publishes Sic Itur Ad Astra, Volume 1, from which a lot of the material that I share on air is derived from. This is his book, Thrust for Freedom, An Introduction to the Volitional Science. He's no longer with us, but I believe his wife is still extant, and these books are available. I got mine off the web. You might do the same. You can also go up and just browse it in, Andrew J. Galambos or Volitional Science Library, and you might find a place where you could acquire this yourself. Very excellent, accessible material. Chapter 1, Property. And this was originally published in 1963. See, so we're still all in the same area, time period-wise. Thrust for Freedom, number 2, the definition. What is property, he writes? What is property? What is property? Most people think of property in terms of material possessions, and because of this, many have successfully denounced the morality of the pursuit of mere material well-being and claimed it produces conflicts with human rights. The above, Galambos writes, is a restricted and an erroneous point of view on property. A more satisfying and total concept arises from the following definition, one that I accept myself. Here it is. Property is individual man's life and all non-procreative derivatives of his life. Property. It's you. It's me. This is property. It begins with me. Not the books and not the table and not the television and the flat screens and the solar, all that sort of stuff. Yeah, that's all becomes property. But property begins with the person, the individual. And your children are not your property. And all non-procreative derivatives of his life, your children are not your property. They, too, are property held unto only themselves. They're just young people growing up. And that's an important understanding. Because if we don't understand what property is, then we don't know what we've lost as we go through these various and sundry studies. What's freedom? Freedom is that societal condition, according to Galambos, that exists when every individual has full or 100% control over his own property. 100% control over your own property. That's freedom. Anything less than that falls short of freedom. Of course, it's a condition of man that man has never been able to achieve yet. But it's nice to set a lofty goal as we move into a time period in the future, maybe in the decades or this century, as we move further and further into 100% control over our property, 100% of the time. And the corollary, 0% control of our neighbor's property, 100% of the time. A goal worth seeking. Freedom is popular. We'll be right back.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
You're thirsty. You put the glass under the faucet, turn it on, nothing. No water in your tap, no water in the stores, no water for your children.
Millions of Americans go without water during hurricanes, droughts, and chemical spills. They're forced to wait for government deliveries of bottled water.
But now, you can produce pure drinking water from any source. Ocean water, contaminated well water.
The dirtiest, nastiest, smelliest water.
The secret is U.S. patent pending sea panels. Technology transfer from the University of Alabama. They use sunlight to distill clean water, one pure H2O molecule at a time. Impervious to bacteria, mold, and 100% solar powered.
Simple and affordable, they start at less than $100 and make up to a gallon per day of delicious water per panel.
The more sun you have, the more water you get. 205-246-6492.
Or visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com.
cpanel.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
And we've returned once again and back to our text now. Again, the Principles of Economics textbook, college textbook, Economics 101, 53. Some limitations in regards to the freedom of enterprise. He says, unfortunately, freedom of enterprise does not mean perfect equality of opportunity. It does not mean perfect equality of opportunity. Remember, at this time, many things are being introduced to the young people that would become the free speech movement, the beginning of the anti-war protest against Vietnam, the beginning of the yuppies, actually it was the hippies, then the yuppies, then the yuppies, then the neocons, and they're all in power today, a lot of them, in various government offices, you know, all of the PhDs and MDs and all the rest of that claptrap. the little sheepskins that are out there in the world. But again, freedom of enterprise does not mean perfect equality of opportunity. There's been a shift from the equality of opportunity to the equality of outcomes. Big shift. Talks about insufficient formal education or low ability may bar an individual from other occupations. Insufficient formal education. Once was a time when you could go your entire life without a four-year degree and really have very few impediments placed in front of you. Certainly some that had those degrees advanced and they became the entrepreneurs in the professional field in the liberal arts. But it wasn't requisite to have a degree to be a janitor or a dishwasher. You didn't need to be a sanitary engineer. Dropping down a little further and reviewing again, in the freedom to own property, its operation again, another right that the individual possesses in a private enterprise system is the right to own property. And again, the privilege to use property includes the privilege to abuse it as long as the abuse does not interfere with the rights of others. And if we can understand this in context with Columbus, then the right to abuse our bodies, that means that I can smoke a cigarette if I so desire. I can smoke pot if I wanted to. I could eat fast foods until I puked if I wanted to. The right to abuse my personal property is mine and mine alone, provided that it doesn't interfere with the rights of the others. Sometimes I say that my rights end where the rights of another begins. What I choose to do on my property is none of your affair, provided that what I'm doing on my property doesn't interfere with the use of your property. Dropping down again, saying it one more time, actually a person does not own the property itself. In other words, you don't own yourself, but rather a right to use it. You've only got a right to use your body. And that is superior to the rights of other individuals. All property is subject in the final analysis, our author's right in this Economics 101. In the final analysis, all property is subject to the authority of the government. And the rights to use it are extended to the people by the government. Do you see the transition here? As opposed to being endowed with by your creator with certain unalienable or unalienable rights. Amongst these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. No, this all goes away. 1953, this is post-United Nations time period. This all has to go away. That's why I say that there's not much that I could do for this year's high school seniors, even if I did have control of the education system. I could only do a little more for the juniors, just a bit more for the sophomores, more yet for the freshmen. But let me work with those that are coming into kindergarten, and by the time they get out of high school, they could be happy, healthy, normal people, once again moving towards freedom. But every subsequent generation of teachers, which comes out of our colleges every year, that go out then and look for teaching jobs are further and further and further away from truth and deeper into indoctrination. It's going to take time to right the wrongs in America. At times it becomes necessary for the government to step in and rescind the right of an individual to use property in a certain manner. And then it continues and it discusses the right of eminent domain. Nowhere in this beginning of this text do you find any discussion whatsoever of how all of this happened. How did this transition occur? With the creation of the Federal Reserve banking system, that creature from Jekyll Island, where no longer in this country did we have real money. No money. We'll talk about that right now. But there was no more money. And so everything is just promises to pay. And everything that has just been promised to pay carries a lien on it. You don't own your house. You don't own your car. You don't own your stereo, anything in your home. nothing you've ever purchased. You borrowed your food, really, on promises to pay debts. Debts that you owe to the government. And the government is in debt to the bank on liens and promises to pay. And the Chinese are holding promises to pay trillions. It's a wicked system. One that has to end and will end. It will end as more and more people find out more about it. Money, not wealth. Here's a back to our textbook. It's too bad we didn't have that part inserted in this book somewhere. Money, not wealth. Commonly, if a man has a large amount of money in his bank account, his friends regard him as wealthy. Money, however, is not considered wealth by economists. It merely represents the power to obtain wealth or services if it is wisely spent. Although, notice spent, not invested, wisely spent. Although money is scarce, material, and transferable, it can be dropped from our concept of wealth because it has practically no utility of itself. And here's a footnote. The one exception to this statement is standard money, such as full-value gold coins, of which there is none in circulation in the United States at present. So there's clues being dropped for the intelligent student, the observant student, the student that would read the footnotes. But I don't see any stars by this. You should see this book. It's all marked up in pencil and in pen and things like that. The student that had it really worked it over just about as well as I'm working it over. I've gotten it much more marked up now. But there's no indication that this particular section of the book was studied. That's the way it is in school, you know. Well, we'll study chapter 1, 3, 7, 9, 11, and 15, and the final exam will be on such and such a date. And the rest of the book isn't touched. That's certainly the way it was going when I was in college, one of the reasons why I dropped out of college. There were many reasons. That was just one of them. But you don't get the whole story in college unless you're really super-duper extra industrious. We'll be right back on the other side. Stay with us.
Heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule and Heirloom Seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com.
SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Pulling back the curtain to expose the matrix. Axiom Radio with Rob Chowder. Weeknights, 7 to 9 Central on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Now, it certainly wouldn't be fair and certainly would be biased if I didn't say that there was something of value in this study. I wouldn't read it if I didn't think there was something of value in it. And certainly, many questions are answered and many areas of understanding are opened up to the student. But again, it goes back and falls upon those of us who are students of history to do our extra duty, you know, be extra super-duper industrious, if you will, in all of this. Going back again, the American people in 1790 were largely self-supporting. Key phrase there. Jumping over it a little bit, it says there were less than 4 million Americans in 1790, excluding the Indians. Children were needed in the 1790 to help with the plowing, the harvesting, the chores, and the household duties. Therefore, large families were the rule and not the exception. At least 4 children were found in nearly every home, while as many as 8 were found in 1 out of every 5 homes. Under our present economic order, the new economic order, children do not contribute greatly to the financial support of the family. Isn't that a shame? As we look back upon the American sense, our scene of that day, we cannot escape certain conclusions. There was economic security for all who wished it, and no great unemployment problem to solve. Self-reliance, key phrase, hard work, and ingenuity were the tools of success. Cooperation was practiced, not just defined. The family was a self-supporting unit that commanded and received allegiance from its members. Now, there's no way that we're going to go back to three-cornered hats, mourner's benches, black powder rifles, nor should we. But we do need to understand a little bit about where we've been to understand where we are, and certainly to build a better picture for the future. We talked about this niche building with obfuscatory linguistics yesterday. Just a little bit again on that today. Economics has been defined as the study of mankind's efforts to satisfy wants by utilizing the scarce goods of nature. For reasons that will be given below, the term goods is understood to include the services of human beings, as well as material objects. The economist, like other scientists, has found it helpful to attach to certain words meanings that are quite different from those given the words in ordinary usage. In other words, we're building the language of economics. And certainly each of us, as I said yesterday, unless we're just going to throw rocks at the big glass house, stand on the street corner with bullhorns and try and call down the edifices of corporate America and around the world, the transnationals. Unless we're going to spend all of our time bullhorning government, maybe we'd better find out just a little bit about what's going on, where we came from, what all's involved, what's going on in those big buildings that we look at but don't have an office in, and try and figure it out. Is when the fecal matter hits the rotating oscillator, much of these systems are going to be destroyed. And it's going to be out of the ashes that the new one is going to rise. And I don't care, as I've said before, how long or how deep or how wide this recession, depression, hyperinflation, or whatever they're going to call it is, or how long it lasts. On the other side, and you can take this to the bank, there will be government. It's either going to be a government of our choosing or of someone else's. And so if we can understand some of the dynamic, thinking beyond ourselves at the huge picture out there of what has become of this world, again, this ain't Dan'l Boone time. We're not wearing coonskin caps, making our clothes out of buckskin. Got a whole lot of shaking going on. There's millions and millions of billions of people on this planet, and they're going to be looking for some intellectual leadership, some intelligent people, to offer a better solution. And I'm hoping that young people listening today will be part of that solution and will be able to offer some better ideas than some of the broken stuff that we got today. But again, the economists have had to build a language in order to wall themselves in this idea of the science of economics. Dropping down here a little bit, we're going to talk about goods. It has been emphasized that the study of economics is concerned with the utilization of scarce goods of nature. Agenda 21, GIS, GPS, Global Governance System, locating on all of the planet Earth every grain of sand, every blade of grass, every little bit of ore, every little bit of coal, every little bit of oil, everything like that, and all of the people and all the cows and all the trucks and all the tractors, all of this, scarce goods of nature. Those things that satisfy human wants are termed goods. I mentioned this yesterday, drawing it to your attention. We're changing the dialogue in the minds of these young people who are going to become economists. Not thinking about needs, thinking about wants. Goes back to our little article over there in Japan, Panasonic. Playing on the wants of people, not their needs, but their wants. You could still continue to heat your home and heat your water and cook your food on a natural gas burner like they did back in the time of Greece. The Oracle of Delphi, etc. Temple situated right over a natural artesian natural gas thing with a perpetual flame. You know, that's big magic. Anyway, those things that satisfy human wants are termed goods. The term includes not only commodities but services. And natural resources as well. Unless he is a slave, man is not a good, but his services are. So let's go on a little bit further, pick up utility. Inasmuch as a good satisfies a human want, it is said to possess utility. Utility is that quality of any item which makes it wanted. If a commodity satisfies a want, it has utility despite the fact that it may be harmful to the individual or to society. Glenlivet Scotch satisfies my want and therefore is good. I certainly think it's good. I think it's tasty. Not quite as good as Glenfiddich, but, you know, for $2 extra, I'll stick with the Glenlivet. Yeah, whatever. The test of utility, again, does not depend upon whether the satisfaction derived from a good is wholesome or not. Apart from the medicinal use, the consumption of opium is likely to weaken the body and to demoralize the user. Nevertheless, as long as it is wanted, it is economically useful and is said to possess utility and explains why we are in Afghanistan. A person who appreciates classical music may regard popular music as revolting. As a matter of fact, many of the recognized artists of the musical world may subscribe to this verdict. But that does not, however, destroy the utility of popular music as long as other people want to hear it. And if you happen to be Panasonic or Sony or TIAC or any of the other brands, you're going to need to have something for people to desire to listen to on these stereo systems that came on us and at us from the 50s forward, Tanberg and the many other producers. And so the young people, then just starting out in life, coming out of college, needed music of their own in order to fuel the billions and billions of dollars that have been made on doing nothing except for listening to other people perform. Free goods, Some of our wants can be satisfied by goods that are available in abundant quantities, air and sunshine being just two. We may say that such goods are free goods because they exist in quantities which are sufficient to meet all the wants for them. Of course, today, with the climate change bill, man-made global warming, you're going to have to buy permits to exhale carbon dioxide. Insanity. But it's a marketplace, and it's a free good. We'll be right back.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Look, it's time someone gave you the facts about your computer. If you're a Windows user, you know all too well what the problems are. Viruses, crashes, sluggish behavior. Finally, you have to fix it or take it to the shop. We see it every day. Now, Microsoft is preparing for the release of their new Windows 7. They want you to pay hundreds of dollars to upgrade. Well, you don't have to pay for the privilege of using your computer anymore. We've been installing Linux at home and for businesses in Austin for 4 years. Our customers love it. Why Linux? It never costs you a dime. All the software you need is free, and you never have to worry about Windows viruses again. Linux is all but immune, and many of your Windows programs will run on Linux as well. Have an older computer? Linux runs great on it, when Windows won't. So instead of paying for a system that's going to cause you problems, stop fighting your computer and start using it. Check out the facts at www.fixedbylinux.com. That's L-I-N-U-X, fixedbylinux.com. Or call us at 512-739-9707. There's a better way. Linux.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
You're thirsty. You put the glass under the faucet, turn it on, nothing. No water in your tap, no water in the stores, no water for your children.
Millions of Americans go without water during hurricanes, droughts, and chemical spills. They're forced to wait for government deliveries of bottled water.
But now, you can produce pure drinking water from any source. Ocean water, contaminated well water.
The dirtiest, nastiest, smelliest water.
The secret is U.S. patent pending sea panels. Technology transfer from the University of Alabama. They use sunlight to distill clean water, one pure H2O molecule at a time. Impervious to bacteria, mold, and 100% solar powered.
Simple and affordable, they start at less than $100 and make up to a gallon per day of delicious water per panel.
The more sun you have, the more water you get. 205-246-6492.
Or visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com.
cpanel.com.
So as we study the idea of economics, we can see that as we define our terms, one of the major terms that comes in early is this concept of goods and what is good and what is not good. There are free goods and there are economic goods. But before we go into that any further, let's go to John calling from Tampa Bay. Good morning, John.
Hey, how you doing? What you're talking about is needs to be really said really well because... I don't think a lot of people are aware of it. I mean, it's like the blinders on. Like, I was on the front lines of this. I mean, I was actually in the city where this was happening one time, and it took 15 years later when I was watching TV, like, on a Saturday, and I was watching, like, public television. They did a documentary on it, and I just, like, you know, that's one of the times when you're like, your jaw just drops to the floor. Cause they actually told what was really happening. And, what it was is, you ever heard of a man called Doran from California?
The name doesn't come right to mind. Tell me a little about him.
Well, he's a congressman or something, from California. And, so this happened in West Virginia. And, it was about the books that were in the library. And, so we were young kids then, you know, and we thought, oh, these people are really stupid. They had a whole downtown marching and protesting. It was like a near riot condition. And Doran was one of the guys leading it. I didn't know who he was at the time. And I didn't even know about what the books were in the library, right? Well, it so happened that the educational system, you know, kind of like what you're talking about, the heads up people that we don't ever see, that put this curriculum in our schools. And this was in the 70s, about 72, 75. And, so one of the teachers just looked at some of the books that came out of New York or whatever, the curriculum, masters there were putting these books in the school, and, they wanted kids to study them. And she protested violently, and she got all this, groundswell up, and, Doran, you know, I mean, he came in from out of state protesting because they said they didn't want these kind of books in the school. So we said, well, what is this, book burning, whatever it was, but it was very, sexually oriented books, maybe towards like, you know, mommy has, two mommies or they have two daddies or something like that, but it was like they're on a school bus taking off all their clothes and they're making love. And this is like, it was really in the book, you know. I didn't know this. We thought people were idiots, you know, well, they don't want books or something. But we never knew what was the content of the books until, like I was saying, 15 years later.
Yeah, exactly. There was a time period, came out of Berkeley, California, speaking of a Berkeley or a California legislator. The free speech movement is something that very few people know anything about. It hasn't gotten, much in the history books, but it's an important thing to understand. One of the reasons, John, why I spend, my time at flea markets and yard sales and dumpster diving behind libraries and things and going to library auctions is because of this huge transformation, the vacuuming up of these kinds of books away from us. Now, of course, with the Internet, Scribd and Alibri and some of the other antiquarian booksellers, you can find these books. But in order to find a book, you need to know the title and the author and probably when it was published. And so unless you have somebody that can point out some of this material to you, they've basically been vacuumed up. But the free speech movement was much of what you're talking about there. Yeah, you know, the freedom of speech is important, but at the same time, it drove away a lot of the really good educators, people that had born in the late 1800s and in the early 1900s who were teaching in colleges and universities, and they looked at this claptrap that was coming out of the Bloom's taxonomy, coming down out of the federal Fed Ed, if you want, and they said, this isn't history, this isn't true, this isn't fact, this isn't useful, this doesn't teach anybody anything or give anybody a leg up in the world. I don't want to teach it. And many of them quit, gave up their chairs in the colleges, and they went into private practice or just simply retired.
Well, you know, one thing that you really hit on something now that I've noticed, and I know you've probably seen it, is how everything is washed out of anything. I used to gather books like that, too, when I lived in Denver. They had all these old bookstores, and the place I worked at, these other guys would grab books that were in insurance and stuff. And they had the whole insurance thing laid down about where it was just a perfect system, about how it couldn't fail. And you look, and then all these corporate guys are just, you know, took it over and made their own numbers up on it. But you go pick up any kind of book now on insurance or chemistry, name any subject, everything's washed out of it. It's like how to make soap bubbles. And that's all you're going to get out of a chemistry book now. There's nothing to it. There's no content to anything anymore. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, well, you got to be careful because people can be making improvised explosive devices out of shampoo and matches, you know. So we do have to be very careful because you wouldn't want somebody to blow themselves up in their bathroom, I guess. But it's ridiculous. You're right. When you use the term washed down or pale, all of the real important material has been taken out. Even in the beginning of this particular textbook in 1950s, they talk about using the simple structure of the sentences, shorter sentences. When I transfer from this book over to the next in just a couple of moments, we go to the encyclopedias published at the same time. We're going to see the difference in the writing style. That's why I encourage people to get the writings of Jeremy Bentham or John Stuart Mill or Adam Smith or Francis Hutcheson. When we see what has happened in this transformation, we came into the technology age, we went into the television time, and we lost our ability to communicate verbally and in written form. Few people can write today a paragraph cogently that goes and runs maybe two pages worth, you know. So much has been reduced and simplified down that it's no surprise that we've become a simple-minded people.
It's very scary. Very scary that it's like it's coordinated by people on the top that have all this money, and they just don't want to hear anything different. I don't know. I don't even know what it is anymore. Why would anybody want to even contemplate doing this to people? You know, it's to make it completely crazy in a way. I mean, it's not to do any good whatsoever at all. It's just to wash out everything that's ever existed. It's unbelievable. And man, I appreciate you. Thank you.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for calling in, Johnny. I'll address that right now. But basically, the idea, though, you know, we saw the product of that. Jorge Bush, the shrub, you know, he got an Ivy League education. And his daughters are getting Ivy League educations today. But what we used to be able to accomplish by the eighth grade now takes another 4 years. You've got to go to college. And then in order to really excel, you're going to have a master's degree. And then you're going to have a doctorate degree. And then, even then, unless you are invited to work with one of the institutions, if the Brookings Institute or the Tavistock Institute or perhaps others, unless you're invited into one of the think tanks, then you're still not financed and funded and asked to really get in and exercise your mind and dig things out. So we get a lot of people out there who are generally educated through this system of the free and gratuitous diffusion of knowledge. And a diffuser, of course, is just something that breaks up the bright light. It doesn't enhance the brilliance. It breaks it up. It diffuses it. It casts it to all four corners of the room. But nowhere in the room is as bright as it is under the light without the diffuser. But that's the whole idea of the diffusion of knowledge. It's breaking it up. And so what I try and do is to demonstrate that by getting out, by circumventing the established educational system, and certainly as we move forward as political hopefuls, as local leaders, so to speak, as we prepare to be the replacement set, we're going to need to do extra industrious effort on our own part to understand all these things. But yeah, there's just so much to it. It's intentional obfuscation. It's the suppressio viri, the legal maxim, the suppression of truth, which is a fraud. It's a fraud against the people. It's a fraud against our minds. And it's a fraud against your children's minds when you subject them to that. But, of course, even with homeschooling, a homeschool program, unless the parents are on the net constantly or have gone through the process that I've tried to do with my own life, unless you have a greater understanding of the world, then even you as a teacher for your young children are not going to be much better than what they get in public school. So it's a wicked, vicious cycle, but it's one that we can and we must break. It's going to demand and supply. We talked about the Japanese building up this idea through all of the websites and all of the magazines, trying to get people excited about having solar products in their home and all of these new high-tech, highly expensive things in the kitchen. Ridiculous, but nevertheless, you know, I lived 14 years in a log cabin, didn't have running water, you know, survived the experience, drank rainwater, as they say, drinking from the brook and being fed by ravens. It is possible, folks. You don't need to live in this insane world that it's something that people desire. Why? Because they want it. They don't need it. They want it. How did they get to want it? They were conditioned. Programming. Edward Bernays, public relations, the marketing, the media, the strategies. It all works against you. We're going to look at demand and supply written by somebody that's a little bit more intelligent for a different audience. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Radio X. With your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And we've returned once again, and can you learn anything from the economics textbook that we were looking at published back in 1953? Yes, you can. You can look at the overview, if you will. You can see the direction. What is intended in this supposed science of economics? But to that, you're going to have to add other things. Go to the encyclopedias and rough it out from there. One of the things that, if I have any advantage at all, is the time that I've invested in reading encyclopedias. So, like to say, from A to Zwingli, which is where most encyclopedias end, Zwingli, the more modern ones, end with the word zygote. Same thing applies to dictionaries. But when you start to go down that road, then you transfer from this niche-building labor, you know, the division of labor, the building of specialists, artisans, if you will, and you shift over into a different mindset. It's comprehensivism, becoming a generalist as opposed to a specialist. one who understands greater things. You start to bring it all together, knit together, connect all of these dots. And certainly with the encyclopedias at your disposal, and again, they are disposed. They're disposed every day of the week. Not long ago, I was able to pick up this full set of Encyclopedia Americana, originally published in 1927. The edition that I have published in 1921, with many of the articles in them still dating back to the 1920s, I was able to pick up this entire set of encyclopedias for $20, a $20 bill. Today, if you want to go out and buy a brand new set of Encyclopedia Americana in hardbound and not just off the internet and discs, be prepared to spend $1,500, $2,000. Buy the little wooden box for it, and you're going to be around $3,000. Keeps most people out. But you don't need to do that. You can go around to the various flea markets and things. Anyway, don't want to waste any more time. Time's precious. We're running out. Demand and supply. That's what we're talking about here with these green technologies. Demand and supply. In political economy, now this out of the encyclopedia, written by a different author, one that has not been dumbed down, writing for a not dumbed down audience, writing in more intellectual format, listen carefully. It's not going to be as easy as the other one. The other one was written in plain English for simpletons. This is written for people of a broader understanding. But demand and supply in political economy, the desire for services or utilities on the one hand, and the production or offer of them on the other, which tend to complete an act of exchange. So we've got three or four different things coming in here. We're introducing political economy, desire for services or utilities, the idea of production, offering them. She offered her honor. I honored her offer, and all night long it was, well, honor and offer, right? That's a little ditty I got in sales. But anyway, tend to complete an act of exchange. So there's a lot going on in that first opening sentence that the author is then going to complete in this brief article on demand and supply. Demand is therefore the amount of a commodity that will be taken at a given price. Supply, the amount that will be offered at a given price. And as we look at the rise of the Industrial Revolution, we understood that when we've discovered how to mass produce things, where we could build barrels and barrels of triggers and barrels of gun barrels and barrels of stocks, that the only real operative in all of that was not how many we could make, but how many we should make. And that begins the study of economics, understanding supply and demand. And going back again here and looking at Ordway's book, or the quote that I gave at the beginning, is there an unbreakable upper limit to the continuing growth of our economy? Is there a point where prosperity is no longer going to be able to be sustained? When we get to the point where we've made everybody in the world, given everybody in the world a hot water heater that runs on natural gas or electricity, do we then need to switch over to these solar things just in order to continue business and marketing? Or is it just continued foolishness? Who benefits? Who gains? Qui bono? The corporations or us? By a proportional tax, going back to our discussion on public finance, we began this earlier, you can pick it up out of the archives. By a proportional tax is meant one that is levied at a constant rate, irrespective of the amount of property or income from which it is paid. For instance, a proportional income tax of 2% would exact always the same proportion of the income, no matter how large this might be, $20 if the income is $1,000, $200. If the income is $10,000 and $20,000, if the income is $1,000,000. On the other hand, in the case of a progressive tax, the tax rate increases as the amount of property or income to be taxed grows greater. Under progressive taxation, remember, a heavy progressive income tax, one of the principal planks of the Communist Manifesto, under progressive taxation, a relatively bigger slice of the large income is taken than in the case of the smaller incomes. The point at issue in determining the question as to whether proportional or progressive taxation best accords with the principle of justice or equity, words no longer found in the common parlance, by the way, in the distribution of taxation is whether a man's ability to pay is measured by the amount of property or income he enjoys, or whether his ability increases at a rate more rapid than the growth of his property or income. And this opens up a very interesting discussion on taxation, which we'll cover on another broadcast. But the modern tendency is to affirm the latter proposition and to make more general use of the progressive principle, and of course it would at this time, as socialism and communism was finding its way into a greater number of the very pieces of legislation, the statutes coming out of Congress. Probably the most popular argument in favor of progression is that it tends to break up large fortunes and to equalize the distribution of wealth. Now, you know as well as I know that the large fortunes are not being broken up, but that the middle class is the target, and that when you talk today about someone who earns $250,000 or $300,000 a year, you're still not talking about the rich, you're talking about the middle class. You don't start talking about the rich until you get up into the billionaires like Roman Abramovich, Google him up, the Russian Jew, Boris Yeltsin's buddy, who spent a little bit of time over in England. He actually owns a football team over there. That'd be soccer there, I don't no doubt. Little time over there at the auctions picking up some fine artwork with his girlfriend or wife. He's had several, hard to say what it is, for one of their many Casa Grandes, or perhaps to decorate his yachts. And his yacht looks like an ocean liner. But anyway, it doesn't impact them. It impacts the middle class, who can't escape it. This is doubtless the motive which has led to the approval of inheritance taxes in this country, again written in the 50s, but in few cases has the application of the progressive principle been drastic enough really to bring about a redistribution of wealth. It doesn't really hit the mark. It just penalizes prosperity. A second argument is the so-called equality of sacrifice idea. Equality of sacrifice idea. If the rich man is to make a sacrifice proportionate with that of the poor man, he will have to give up a relatively larger percentage of his income because as fortunes grow larger, the utility of each dollar grows less. According to this view, the burden of the tax is measured by what is left after the payment rather than by the payment itself. You can see how the writing style has shifted. The depth of the discussion is much greater. When we turn to the encyclopedia, we begin in the definitions. We start with a dictionary and a law dictionary when you're looking up terms. And we can use the textbooks to help guide us. And then we go to the encyclopedias. And from the encyclopedias, then we can go off to the authors. Each of these encyclopedia articles having been written by a specific author. And if you go and study the encyclopedia authors' works, you'll find that they've written great treatises oftentimes on the topics that they've been asked to condense for publication in encyclopedias. It's a progressive learning system, always getting into greater and greater detail and more understanding. That's sort of the thing that you might be asked to do when you sit down to write a doctoral thesis or get your master's degree. So much to understand, so much to learn. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Thanks for listening. I'll be back again on Monday. Until then, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the heirloom
Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule and Heirloom Seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com.
SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Look, it's time someone gave you the facts about your computer. If you're a Windows user, you know all too well what the problems are. Viruses, crashes, sluggish behavior. Finally, you have to fix it or take it to the shop. We see it every day. Now, Microsoft is preparing for the release of their new Windows 7. They want you to pay hundreds of dollars to upgrade. Well, you don't have to pay for the privilege of using your computer anymore. We've been installing Linux at home and for businesses in Austin for 4 years. Our customers love it. Why Linux? It never costs you a dime. All the software you need is free, and you never have to worry about Windows viruses again. Linux is all but immune, and many of your Windows programs will run on Linux as well. Have an older computer? Linux runs great on it, when Windows won't. So instead of paying for a system that's going to cause you problems, stop fighting your computer and start using it. Check out the facts at www.fixedbylinux.com. That's L-I-N-U-X, fixedbylinux.com. Or call us at 512-739-9707. There's a better way. Linux.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.